today on Real Radio.
Why there's this debate about, am I born again or not? Am I saved or not? It's so simple. Do you hunger for God's word? For those of us who are Christian, the Holy Spirit is saying, it's time to eat. It's time to eat.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues our series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called The Anointing of His Word, Part 1. You know, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Peter is writing now to Christians who are learning how to live out their faith in a whole new world. They faced incredible opposition. Suffering and sorrow awaited them at every turn. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? In the Gospels, we saw Peter the fisherman. In chapter 1 of 1 Peter, we saw Peter the theologian. Now in chapter 2, we see Peter as the expositor, or the one who explains. He'll draw from the history of his forefathers found in God's word to make his point. The Hebrew prophets taught us to live a godly life, and Peter encourages us to love one another even when we're surrounded by hate. So today, on day 3 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we need to stop sin in its tracks. The Christian life is all about letting go of those things that would cause us to stumble. It's a constant battle of will, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be more like Jesus and less like ourselves. And now in his message called The Anointing of His Word, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Lord is saying to you this morning, I want to do more with you. I want you to know more of me. We got to get this junk out of the way. So cast it off, strip it off, peel it off. You ever been out in the sun too much? Too much. One day, too much. You go out in the sun. You haven't been out in the sun. You go out in the sun and you're just absolute honky white. And you go out into the sun and you get burned. And you know what? The next 3 days after that, you start to peel. Just peel it off. Envy. Deceit. Let it go. Peel it off. Then the word, hang on, you guys ready? Or maybe you should just leave now before we get to the evil speaking part. Evil speaking. The word kind of, the actual Greek words is kind of funny. It's one word. I can't even say it right. I'll say it slowly. It's katalala. Katalala. It sounds wrong. Well, aren't you just a katalala? Boy, look at over them, just catalaling it up. What does it mean? It means to gossip with the intent to tear someone down. It means to load your mouth and to turn around and say to someone else without that person able to defend themselves, which most often means they're not present. And you say something like, oh, well, you know who they really are, don't you? Well, let me tell you a little bit about them. Some morsel. For some reason, the human heart, even the Christian human heart, is drawn to, hey, did you guys hear what happened? What happened? I need to know so I can pray about it. You know how much sin goes on in a prayer meeting? Dear Lord, you know, we pray for our brother. Nobody knows in the whole room, but Lord, we pray for our brother. And, well, Lord, you know that you're sinning. In a prayer meeting, to gossip with the intent to tear someone's character down, to speak in a disparaging way of another. We get the word slander from this, to degrade someone. It can also mean to be unwise in the use of information about someone. When given the opportunity, you can either say nothing, or you can say something good, or you can catalala. And you seize upon the moment to tear them down. Listen, Christian, do you know anybody else? Raise your hand if you know anybody else. Trick question. No, do you know anyone? If you know them, do you know something distasteful about them? Wait, let me back up. How many of you are married? Raise your hands. Okay, you know how you know things about your spouse? The Bible says that your spouse is the other part of your flesh. So if you turn to your coworker and say, "Oh, my wife's a jerk," did you know what you just did? You just, as it were, ripped part of your body off, character-wise. Think about that for a moment. Oh man, my husband. And you have these little get-togethers, let's rag on our wives or our husbands. It's sin. It's happening a lot today. People are reading books about relationships, about how they're supposed to be. Instead of going to the Bible and going to God, we read books about how relationships are supposed to be, and then you turn around and you look at your wife or your husband across the table, and you think, what a bum. He or she's not like the person in the book. That's sin. That's something we have to peel off of our lives. It means to impugn someone's character. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says, "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead." Peel it off. "Indeed to sin, but alive to God." This is a discipline that we have to do. Church, are you with me? You guys all real quiet. You okay? The Bible says, "Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead." Notice this. The Bible clearly is announcing you're not dead. Now, class, listen. In Romans 6, what's not dead? Be specific. Come on. What's not dead? Why does the Bible say you got to reckon yourself dead, but alive to God? Say it out loud, you know. Our flesh, our old flesh nature. We have to reckon that dead. So what does that mean? How does that work? Don't miss this. When a temptation or a thought or sin is now en route in your life, you stop. Wait a minute. I've got to reckon myself dead. The wonderful word reckon is to do the math. It's an accounting term. Wait a minute. First, number one, Jesus died for me. Number two, he died for my sins when he died for me. Number three, he rose again from the dead. So that's number four. The Bible says I rose again from the dead with him. So number five is I put my faith in him. So number six is I trust him. Number seven, I am not going to obey me. I'm going to, number eight, obey him. And that is reckoning yourself to be dead. You say, how often do I do that? Thank you. All day long. This is the Christian life. You may have brought somebody here today saying, "Wow, Pastor Jack, don't say that because I want them to become a Christian." Sounds tough. It's really tough. It's hard. There's also a bizarre sweetness about it that I can't understand, but I'm happy about it. There's a reality in my life and in your life as a believer that you are constantly on guard and fighting this world, and yet at the same time, there's a profound push and draw, as we talked about last week, of the Holy Spirit pushing you onward, ever closer to the kingdom of God and the coming of Christ. And en route, you have your Christian experience, your life with God. It's quite remarkable. By the way, I'm still in Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 12. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body." Church, listen, do not let sin reign in your body. That verse means we've got the power to put sin in its place. Well, Pastor, does this mean I'll become sinless? What do you think the answer to that is? No, never. But following Christ, you become sinning, or you will sin less, but never become sinless. And that sinning less is a sanctifying work of God where you're drawing closer, becoming more like Christ. It's one thing to lead somebody to Christ. Hallelujah. It's one thing to have an evangelistic service. Amen. I got saved in one of those services. But where do we go from here? Where do we move on? Are we being challenged? Are we being prodded by the Holy Spirit that when he says to you, Romans chapter 6, you need to do these things? Verse 13, go back to Romans 6, verse 13 says, "And do not present your members." What a verse. Boy, we need to give this to ourselves, our kids, everybody. Do not present our members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Your members are your private parts, your hands, eyes, ears, generally your body. And it can be your mind. Don't present your members to be instruments of unrighteousness of sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You say, God, I'm presenting myself right now. And boy, I tell you, that's a discipline. It's not easy. Look at the second thing in verses 2-3 is that we're at war with a new objective. We have a new objective. Okay, so that's the nasty stuff we fight with. Thank God. Take a deep breath, everybody. Here comes the answer. Yes, look at verse 2. Praise the Lord. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if or since indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. What's the answer to verse 1? The answer is verse 2. As newborn babes. This is great. As newborn babes, the word is signifying this. It's very graphic, by the way. Listen. It is describing a child. Sweet. Listen. A newborn baby, infant, newborn child that begins to, I don't know the terminology because I frankly don't have to care about that, but it's when a baby begins to nurse at the very first moment. Because, and that's a big challenge. In when a baby's born, that baby ain't going home. Mama and baby ain't going home until baby does two things. Nurses and goes poop. Did you know that? Because that means everything's working. The baby's ingesting and the baby's eliminating. That means the baby is healthy. Baby go home. The baby's got a nurse. This word means that as newborn infants of God, nursing from the word of God. Notice that a baby, a newborn baby, they don't care about politics. They don't care about the temperature. They don't care about anything. They don't even care about their clothes. They don't care about even you, mom. Sorry, they don't even care about you, mom. Not yet. They just want to eat and they want to eat now and you're going to know about it. So will the whole house. They are going to cry, scream, and go bananas until they get nourishment. And the Bible says, is this not precious? The Bible says, that's how the believer is. What do we do about all these things? Start nursing. All that big list of ugliness. Start nursing on the word of God. It doesn't mean that they're babies. This is not immature Christians. This is good news. From being born again to the day that you wake up in heaven, you and I are to be nursing on the word of God. Amen. Newborn babe, infant. It's not an insult, it's a compliment. By the way, the Bible tells us that in this, the whole birth process of being born again is implied. James chapter 1, verse 18 says, for of his own will he brought us forth. Mark those three words, brought us forth. How do you do that? By the word of truth. This is an amazing word. James 1:18 could be put in the delivery room. It's this. It's by his will, he brought you out of the womb, as it were, of the Holy Spirit, in a sense. The womb of the word. And you've been born again. How do you know? How do you know you've been born again? Super simple. I don't know why there's this debate about am I born again or not? Am I saved or not? It's so simple. Do you hunger for God's word? Are you thirsty for the Bible? Can you go weeks and weeks without the Bible? You're either A, extremely malnourished as a baby, Christian, you're anemic, or you're not a believer at all. But for those of us who are a Christian, the Holy Spirit is saying, it's time to eat. It's time to eat. And you'll go to the word. There's a drive. The Bible says to desire the pure milk of the word. Remarkable. The pure milk of the word of God. A baby doesn't want Fritos. The baby doesn't want Pepsi. You can try giving the baby a Pepsi. Now, don't do that, but That's for grandparents to do. No, I'm kidding. Just joking. Babies have to have and want to have pure milk. That pure, the word is unadulterated milk, which is the word. But the Bible's telling us that there's an intense craving for the child of God. Why the word? Let me be, hear this out. Don't take this the wrong way. It's not so much the word. We don't understand that part yet. It's not so much the word. It's that the word is a vehicle. The word is a medium. The word is a course. It is a highway. To who? To the person of God. You'll never, never, never know him without reading about him. And you're craving him. We're going to end this in a moment. Listen, can this describe you? Does this describe you? Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When he's thirsty, he's parched. When shall I come and appear before my God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where's your God? The world is saying to you today, where's your God? You're going to have an answer or you're not. If you're in his word, nursing upon his word, drinking his word, eating his word, you're going to have an answer. But notice, the believer's heart pants for the truth of God. It says that you may grow thereby. Growth, spiritual development. Church, listen. If in this church you're growing, praise the Lord. If you're not growing in this church, check your heart. If we're not giving you the truth, according to the word of God, if you're not growing, check your heart. If you're not growing here, get out. Go somewhere and grow. But you got to grow. And as a believer, this is what you want to do when you go to a church. You want to go to a church and you want to enter into that fellowship of believers, maybe your first day, and think like this. Can I learn here? Am I being convicted or prodded or exhorted or instructed or admonished to push on? Third, is there opportunity for me to serve others around me, right? Fourthly, will I have the opportunity or can I have the opportunity in this church to disciple another person in Christ? You need to ask yourself that question. If it's not happening here, you need to go. Isn't it amazing? Look right here, this first service. Look how many people here at first service. Guess what? Rosales is having first service at Calvary Chapel Chino Valley. They're packed out. Go over the hill right here. What is it? 2 miles. Raul Reese preaching his heart out. What about the church over the hill right here? Or the creek or whatever that river channel thing is. What about? Think about Southern California right now. Thank God there's not enough churches to house all the people. Why is that? How can all these places be filled up at the same time? Because the word of God is being distributed to a flock. And listen, just like on a Friday night, try to get into Colonel Sanders, or try to get into Habit, or try to get into In-N-Out, or try to get into P.F. Chang's. It's packed. You want to know why? People are feeding. People have different tastes, but there's the same nourishment. Are you with me? Christians cannot and will not stand for junk food. Thank God. The national denominations in America are drying up and blowing away because they, self-inflicted wound on their part. They departed from the faithful doctrine of the Bible, and people know the word of God and they're hungry, so they're getting up and they're looking for food. God's truth is that food. So, personal development, personal worship, personal understanding. Is this happening? Does this describe your growth life? Personal prayer life. Personal giving, or whatever God says to you about that. And verse 3 ends here by saying, or we stop here by saying, if or since indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The word tasted means, have you experienced God? And I love that. God's grace, we're done. God's grace says to you, I want you to experience me. Isn't that awesome? So, wow, we have a lot of work to do this week. Lord, I'm asking you to take this sermon today and stamp it into my heart because I got a lot of peeling off to do. I need to exfoliate my soul and get some dead skin off me. Some malice has got to go. Got to get all that slander that has a tendency to come up in my eye. Lord, I'm asking you to take all of this stuff out of me that's there listed. And Lord, thank you for reminding me right now that the fact of the matter is I have 100% confidence that that's going to happen because I long for your word. Father, we thank you for this word. And so, Lord, as we go today from this place, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that the transformative word of God, the power of God's word, the reality of God's word, will in fact conquer us, that this very same word of God, which is a two-edged sword, turns around and gives us the power and the strength to go forth in victory. We pray, Father, this morning that this activity that is called the believer in this day and age, please, Father, in my life, start with me, and Lord, let it spread to the rest of us, that we're here right now for a very specific purpose, and may we get excited about that. We're not just waiting for the end to come. We're not just waiting for sunset. Today's the day to do the work of God. And the night is soon coming when no man can work. So may we be busy about our Father's business. And as a church, Almighty God, may we go and make a difference because you've made a difference in us. And thank you that Christ died on that cross, rose again from the dead, that by faith in him and him alone, he transforms our life. And the proof of that is our passion for your word. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Church, let's stand and let's bless him with our word of praise and love and our song to him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called The Anointing of His Word, Part 1. We're so glad you joined us today, and let's not indulge in our wants at the expense of our souls. Instead, let's turn to God's Word for all that we could ever want or need. The Anointing of His Word, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a Study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, there are a lot of voices out there shouting this and that, spreading their own personal agendas. But Peter warns us not to conform to worldly opinions, and instead set ourselves apart from them. One thing that can help us, though, is that we fill our minds and our hearts with the Word of God and to have a quiet time with the Lord. You see, He speaks to us with a still small voice. But His words, they're powerful enough to change our lives for the better. So, if you have yet to start a devotional time or you just need some direction, we would love to help you with that. Pastor Jack has new weekly devotions on his website that he's personally written, and that includes a Bible verse and a conversation that relates to specific verses. So simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, click on that Devotions tab. You'll also find previous devotions you can tap into and enjoy every day of the week. There's even a link where you can email us if you've been blessed and you want to share your experience. Again, go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.